Bishop Adler used to say he loved to preach in the South because the preacher always schmoozed with the congregation before he got into the Word. He said, it's so refreshing because out in California, man, if you don't get right to it, they're ready to leave, you know. But I love coming to the South because you guys move so much more slowly and you just kind of smooze along with each other. And oh, yeah. Okay, anyway. So I'm going to smooze with you for a few minutes here. I do thank you for the time that I had during January. It was I do think it was a productive time, but I think the important part of all that was that the Lord is doing something. The Lord is really moving in a powerful way, and I didn't want to miss any of it, so I just immersed myself in the Gospel of Mark. I chose the Gospel of Mark because what I'm going to do with the Lenten meditations this year is follow the daily lectionary, and the Gospel of Mark, the first 10 chapters, are the gospel appointed for the days of the week during this season of Lent this year. And so I've never been able to do something like this before, and it was really quite rewarding. Normally when I'm writing the Lenten meditations, I do it over a period, usually a couple of months. But I wrote all of them in 3 weeks, actually in 18 days. And that was just really engaging time because I just was able to immerse myself in the gospel every single day. And I would sometimes, a couple of the days, I would spend 8 to 12 hours in just immersed in the word. And it was very good. And what I'm going to do is put those on my blog this year. I will print a couple of dozen of them. If you want a hard copy, they'll be available. But they're trying to cut down on copying costs. One thing I found out, too, during that time off was copying costs are just going through the roof. And that's probably why so many magazines are going out of business. Have you noticed how many magazines are going out of business? And Miranda does because she's in charge of that at the library. But the number of magazines that are just... The cost of printing has made it impossible for them to keep up. I've forgotten which one it was. One of the magazines is a weekly, something something weekly. They're now something something weekly published monthly. Okay, whatever that is. Anyway, but the way I found out just how expensive it was I got the meditations that I did on the Rule of Saint Benedict. I had somebody who offered to underwrite the publishing of this. So I have 60 hard copies of this, but this costs $18.20 just for that. And that was just amazing. But if you would like a copy of the Meditations on the Rule of St. Benedict, Living the Rule of St. Benedict in the Secular Realm, Daily Meditations on the Rule, it's available. And I have 60 copies of it. And if you would like a copy, I would ask you, if you can afford to help with the cost, that would be great. I'm asking $20 to help cover the cost. If you can't afford it, I would still like for you to have it, and so you can have it. And just whatever you feel you can give, that would be great. Anyway, so that's schmoozing enough. I'm not a good schmoozer, but anyway. Well, one of the things that I did do while I was on the sabbatical was I did ask an awful lot of people just to pray and to lift me up, that the Holy Spirit would speak to me. And one of those people, you may remember, there was a man that I met who was in Nash County Prison many, many years ago. And he was a messianic pastor. His name was Dan Boone, Daniel Boone, yes. Anyway, and I asked him to pray for me during January, and he wrote to me, and he sent me a note this morning, and he had a word from the Lord for me, which I think is a word from the Lord for all of us, so I want to read that to you. He said, "When you actively step back into your office as shepherd of the congregation at Church of the Resurrection, be aware of his presence as you put on your vestments. He has something new for you in your calling in Asheville, and I believe his intent is to use you and the flock that you watch over in a mighty way there. Be prepared to be on the pointy end of the spear as God begins to roll back the influence of the adversary in Asheville and begins to shine the light of his truth in the city. I sense that you are moving into a new arena in your ministry there, where God will demonstrate his glory with signs and wonders. So, the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So, thank you, Dan. All right. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, we have the presentation of our Lord in the temple. Not the presentation of the groundhog in the temple. It's the presentation of the Lord in the temple. Anyway. And in verse 29, Simeon breaks into song in celebration of the Lord. You know, it's kind of funny, but Simeon gets a lot more credit or a lot more attention than does Anna. And the only reason I can figure out is that Simeon sang a song and Anna didn't. So that says something about singing songs, all right? Anyway, Simeon, and I'm going to translated this from the Greek, and I'm going to read to you a literal translation of the Greek. You can follow it there in the English. In the Greek, it says, "Now let your servant go, Master, according to your word in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that which you prepared for all the people to see, a light into the revelation for the nations, and the glory of your people Israel." All right, that's the Song of Simeon. Now, it says, "My eyes have seen your salvation," soterion. My eyes have seen your salvation. But many of us do Compline every day, and as part of Compline, we say the Song of Simeon. And say that again, please.
The salvation.
No, it doesn't say salvation. It says, "For mine eyes have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see." Now, we say that every night at bedtime in saying Compline. So which is it? Is it salvation or is it Savior? Now, you've got to think in terms of this. My eyes have seen your salvation. What does salvation look like?
Jesus.
Yeah. So my eyes have seen, and what was Simeon looking at? Simeon was looking at the baby Jesus. So mine eyes have seen the salvation. My eyes have seen the Savior. Now, as I was studying this, I went and I looked at a sermon that St. Basil the Great preached on this. And he says, "Now it is the custom in Scripture to call the Christ of God salvation, as Simeon says. Now let your servant depart in peace, O Lord, because my eyes have seen your salvation. Therefore, let us subject ourselves to God, because from him is salvation." He explains what salvation is. Salvation is not some mere active force which provides us with a certain grace for deliverance from weakness or for the good health of our body. What then is salvation? "For he is my God, my Savior, he is my protector. I shall be moved no more. The Son who is from God is our God. He himself is our Savior, the Savior of the human race." Jesus is our salvation. Salvation is a person, the person of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. These eyes of mine have seen the salvation, have seen the Savior. They have seen Jesus. And you say, "Well, how? My eyes haven't seen the incarnate Lord, have they? He only lived for 33 years, and that was 2,000 years ago. So when I go to bed at night and I say, my eyes have seen the Savior whom the world is waiting for, what am I saying? How am I lying to God? Now, you let your servant go and in Combline, we say, Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior whom you prepared for all the world to see. Have you seen the Savior today? Have you looked on him? When you go to bed tonight and you read that canticle, will you be saying the truth? Father Chris, in the Feast of the Epiphany last month, was talking about the image. Isn't that the word you used? Image?
Identity.
The identity, yeah, our identity in Christ, and that we are in Christ Jesus. Okay, yeah. You realize that every human being, regardless of their affiliation with church or not, every human being is created in the image of God. Jesus was the ultimate, the perfect image of God in his incarnate state. Every person who is created in the image of God is not necessarily created in the image of Christ. However, everybody who is living in Christ is not only the image of God, but the image of the Christ himself. The Imago Christi, not just the Imago Dei. Okay? So every time we look at a person, are we looking at the image of God? Yes. Are we looking at the image of Christ? The question is, are you looking for the Christ in that image? For the Godhead, the three, are one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. And so if you are looking at the image of God, you are looking at the image of the Christ. That's why in the Benedictine rule, it says that we are to greet every stranger as Christ himself. The idea is that you are looking at the Christ. You are looking at the Savior when you are looking at another person. If you are looking for them. And that's what's so key here, folks. So that when we do go to bed at night, we do sing this praise to God, we are not lying. We're saying, you know, I was looking for you, Christ, and I found you in the person who was in need. Or I found you when the person met my need. I found you when I just saw the bum on the street. I saw you in the policeman who was giving me the traffic ticket. I saw you, you know, whatever it may be. Are we looking for Christ? Are we seeking him in every person whom we meet moment by moment, day by day? It's something we need to work at. Now, back in December, when we had that quiet day on the observance of the Holy Innocents on the 28th of December, we had a quiet day here. And I remember Susan, I wish she was here so she could tell you this. The reason why we are so few in number today is we are fighting off something. I do believe that that's also I'm going off on a tangent here. But anyway, I think the enemy is really trying to derail something that God is trying to do, and that's why so many are sick today. I really think that's a big part of what's going on. So be encouraged. God must be doing something. But anyway, Susan, at that quiet day, she was talking about how she needed to work at changing habits. If you were there, you can remember, I hope. She was talking about that. And then when I was talking to my spiritual counterpart, my accountability partner during January, he and I were talking about that whole idea of just getting our minds changed and the way we think about things and the way we look at other people and being able to see other people as God sees them and to recognize that our evaluation of another individual needs to be, as it were, salted with the Spirit so that we can see them as God sees them, not as we see them or want them to be. Anyway, one of the things that he's actually working on his doctorate, He's trying to get a DD, a Doctor of Divinity degree, or DMin, excuse me. And one of the things that he's working on is the idea that when we come to the Eucharist, we get transformed, changed, that the Eucharist actually does work in us to transform us. And he was quoting from this neuroscientist, and she has been doing a study about brains and brain damage. She's from South Africa. Anyway, and she said that there, you know, one of the things, I don't know, maybe Father Chris could even enlighten us a little more on this. One of the things that very often in the medical community, they think that once there's brain damage, that the brain doesn't regenerate itself. Is that kind of thinking?
Yeah.
And she has proven through her neurological studies that an understanding that the mind and the brain are two separate things. The brain is the actual organ inside your skull, but the mind can actually influence the brain and cause the brain to actually begin to regenerate. And she has had tremendous success in working with helping people to think differently, to change their habits. But one of the things that she has found is that it takes at least 21 days, consecutive days, of thinking a specific way in order for that kind of change to happen. All right, and when you think about that spiritually, that makes a lot of sense. We need to change our habits, change the way we look at people, and so that we begin to see the Christ in the others and begin to look for them. But it's not going to just happen because we've decided that's what we want to do. It's a change in our behavior, the way you treat another person, the way you look at them, the way you speak to them, the way you interact with them, the way you receive them. 21 days of doing that, you can see how, oh wow, that really, you know, if I could do that for 21 days, that's going to be a change in me, which is what's important. Not them, me. Let me give you a real quick example. One of the things about any kind of spiritual discipline is you've just got to do it. You got to get started and then try it and keep at it in order to train yourself, your body, your mind, your spirit, to do these things on a regular basis. That's what Lent, by the way, is all about. You realize that. Changing your behavior. Okay, it's not just about giving up something. It's about changing the way you go about living your life as a Christian. Well, there was a young man who told me that he really wanted to be ordained. And I said, well, one of the things in the CEC that is required of all of the clergy in the CEC is that they do the daily office. Are you doing the daily office every day? And he said, no, I've never done the daily office. And I said, well, I want you to do it for 30 days. And gave him daily office booklet and said, here's how to do it. Taught him how. I said, I want you to do, at the very least, morning and evening prayer every day for 30 days. Then come back and we'll talk again. So he came back 30 days later. And I said, how did you do? And he said, well, I missed about, I guess, maybe 4 or 5 days. And I said, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. For the next 30 days, you do morning and evening prayer every day, and then come back and talk to me again in 30 days. So he went away. He came back in 30 days. I said, how'd you do? And he said, I did a little better. I think I only missed 3 or 4 days. And I said, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. For the next 30 days, I want you to do morning and evening prayer every day, and then come back and talk to me, and we'll see how you do. And he said, but I just did that. I said, no. You did 26 days. I said 30 days. And he said, well, I can't do it every day. And I said,
why?
It's required. Sorry. That's not an option. You do it every day. This is a relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Would you tell your wife just, you know, 5 days out of 7 that you love her? Tell me how that goes. You know, it's a relationship, people. And so we need to learn how to do these things and to do them. And to learn how to do them, we do them. It's the learning is in the doing. And so we train ourselves. We learn to see the other person. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Yes, mine eyes have seen the Savior because I was looking for him. Because I see him. Because I'm looking for him in each and every person I meet moment by moment, day by day. How do I do that? You just do it. You practice it moment by moment, day by day. Seeing Jesus in the person behind the counter at McDonald's who screwed up your order. And you go back and you say, you know what? God loves you and I love you too. Can we get this straight now? You know, don't yell at him. Would you yell at Jesus? I've tried it. It doesn't work real well. Okay? He's not real happy with me when I yell at him. He just listens and kind of goes, yes, Bill. You poor thing. It's a matter of a lifestyle. Learning to seek Jesus in each person that we meet moment by moment, day by day. In the psalm today, I want to end with this. In the psalm today, it says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Imagine if all of us who call Christ our Lord, who see Jesus as our Savior, imagine if we constantly were, moment by moment, crying out for the living God, seeking Christ in every person we meet, looking for him in all of the opportunities that we are given moment by moment, day by day. He may be right in front of you. He may be the person in need. He may be the person who's offering you your help. When we go to bed, can we honestly say, now my eyes have seen the Savior who the world is longing to see. Amen. Amen.